This is Emeka Ezra, and this is the Redeemed Podcast, where we talk about our past lives before we met Christ. I hope no one is listening, but if you are, please keep it to yourself. Hey guys, welcome to the Redeemed Podcast, and I'm with Abiola from...
Hi guys, yes, I'm Abiola from Seats with the Truth Podcast.
Yes, and we are going to be talking about something very, very interesting, very important, you see. That's been on my heart for a long time, and I'm with Abiola because she has a very interesting perspective, has a very interesting story. I mean, you guys love your stories, but this one is going to be very different. It's not going to be like the story kind of episode we used to have. It's going to be more of a conversation, and we are going to be talking about like, listen to Abiola. Listen to Abiola talk.
No, okay. So yes, I guess I do have an interesting story. And the conversation that we're actually having today is a very culturally relevant one, in the sense that obviously there are many things that are flying in the news today about the rainbow community and whatnot.
In Nigeria,
Africa. Actually, you know, and I think we would even get to that point where we talk about how prevalent it is in this country. But yes, my story in a nutshell is about how I actually grew up with strong homosexual tendencies. Mm. I had serious struggles with same-sex attraction, and I actually did not overcome it completely till about 3-4 years ago now. And I'm so excited to be here with you guys, with Emeka as well, to just share my testimony about how God actually delivered me. But even beyond that, also share certain things about culture, about, you know, the narratives that are flying today, and just correcting it with the word of God.
You know, like, for me, it was pornography, right? It was it was not same-sex attraction. And for different people, it's different things. And something that I might not be able to understand would be like the perspective of how you schooled in Nigeria, right?
Yes, I did.
Right. The perspective of growing up in Nigeria that we know to have only two religions, right? And those two religions, Christianity and Islam. And these religions are not in any way in support of the act, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, how was it having growing up with you? Maybe, I don't know, when you noticed the desires, or how was it? What was the perspective like?
So, growing up in obviously one of these religions, which was Christianity for me, actually, and still experiencing these strong contradictions, right?
Yes.
Okay, it was, how do I put it? I mean, I think I would say they coexisted, because I grew up in a Christian family. My parents took me to church. I loved Jesus from a very young age, actually. I was the student that never got in trouble in school, because I did not want to go to hell. At least that was the understanding I had, you know, of God at the time, that I needed to do right and not go to hell. But then at the same time, trying to be devout, I realized from a young age, around like 7, that I was struggling with contradictory feelings for people of the same sex, for other women. And I just could not wrap my head.
At age what? 10?
7, from as young as 7. Yes, I could not wrap my head around it, because, I mean, I grew up in a conservative home. So this is not a case of someone that grew up in the West and saw all manner of things in primary school books and whatnot, right? I was very sheltered, and I was also a very shy kid. Outside of school and church, I did not have a life.
Me too, I don't know.
To be honest, right? And these feelings really grew. They grew stronger and stronger. I wasn't surrounded by negative influences. And it was around secondary school that I realized, oh my days, I don't know what is going on. And I remember then, I did not want to go to hell, so I threw myself into the things of God. I joined Bible study group. So on Saturdays, I was in a boarding school in Ogun State. When we would have activities, I would go for Bible study. I remember getting so serious in the secondary school church that I became head of the music team there. And then I became head of prayer.
Mm.
And I did everything I could possibly do to get rid of these feelings, but they were still there. So yes, they coexisted, me being someone that at least had a decent understanding of God and wanting to follow his ways, but also experiencing these contradictory feelings.
You know, like I was in a conversation with the Holy Spirit some months back. This is a lot of months back, right? And he was like, it was because, see, I disciple a lot of people, both women and both men.
Okay.
And something that I have noticed is, this is me saying out of my experience of being a minister. Something I have experienced is that 3 out of 5 women that are Gen Z.
Okay.
Right? 3 out of 5 girls or women that are Gen Z have had same-sex attraction.
Yeah.
So, and this is something the Holy Spirit was bringing to my attention, because I deal with a lot of addiction issues. I think the first time I was able to even point out a case was, I was talking to the person, I had a word of knowledge. I was like, oh, is this true? And the person said yes. The second person, it happened again. The second person happened again. Like, and the Holy Spirit started pointing out to me that, oh, the devil... It was actually an agenda of the devil. Yeah. And I'm talking about Africa. This is even a subsect. I'm just talking about Africa. Mm-hmm. That it was an agenda of the devil from 19-something to now against women, against girls, against that demography. And he has started with men. So right now, I'm seeing a lot of male gay content.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
On movies that do not necessarily...
No correlation with the storyline.
Do you get? I think the other day I forgot the movie I was watching. It was I forgot the name of the movie. Very interesting movie. I think they brought out the sequel or something. So okay. I was expecting it. And the first scene, I saw the lead actor say to the other actor, I've been waiting for you. It was not making sense. I was in my head. I was like, no, I don't believe it. No. And they were going. And I now saw two men. I said, okay, let's delete this movie. Let's go our separate ways. But it's something that I'm beginning to see, like in Africa, that I'm beginning to see men now, young generation Z boys, come up to say, hey, I think I'm gay.
Yeah. And like, it's so mainstream now.
It's mainstream, but now, like, if you don't care, I don't know whether you, because I feel a lot of people don't just care. That's why they don't think it's mainstream in Africa.
Yes, big time. Like, I try to invest a lot of time into looking for these stories of Nigerians, Africans that are actively living a homosexual life. Like, people don't realize that the rainbow community in Nigeria is quite massive. It's arguably one of the biggest ones in Africa.
Wow.
Unfortunately so. And they are gaining lots of tractions. I mean, look, I even answered. I don't know if you guys saw. You saw it, right?
I saw it. It was quite
worrisome. They came with their flags and saying that gay lives
matter
as well and all of that, and I just thank God that obviously other people did not allow their voices get loud, and I think it was mellowed down to a significant extent. But that just goes to show that it's a big thing, extremely big. Like, they have their own influencer culture now. They create their own safe spaces and whatnot. And you know, I just thank God for me, because I see just how easily, if God did not come through for me, I could have found myself in that space as well. Literally. Because I remember how that at the time I was struggling.
Do you think you would have dyed your hair purple or something?
I probably might have. You know, I probably might have, because you know, one thing I've realized about identity is the way we portray ourselves outside to a large extent, it's based on how we feel on the inside. We like it or not. Like, you'll find how that subconsciously you're happy today and you just wear white, or you wear yellow.
Yeah.
Or you're really gloomy and you're wearing a dark color. You get. So I mean, I wouldn't have been surprised if I was carrying the yellow hair. to be honest.
I think like you heard about the Uganda bill, right?
I haven't. Tell me about it.
The Uganda LGBT bill.
Okay.
That they would kill any. They said kill, right? They would kill anybody that identifies as is it queer? They call it homosexual, LGBTQ or whatever, okay. And they are going to like kill the person and stuff like that.
This is recent.
Yes, you need.
I haven't.
You've not. You're serious.
I promise you.
It's everywhere. So like because of the bill, right? I have an issue with the bill, right?
Yeah.
And this is not because like I've had anything to do with anyone in that space, apart from the fact that I disciple them.
Mm.
But is the fact that Africa's opinion or the way they think they want to solve something that they most likely do not understand.
It's too extreme.
It's too extreme.
Yeah.
Do you understand? It's too extreme. So, I understand it's not our culture. But killing a human being, right? Killing a human being is a no-no. I mean, I was in a university and I was explaining love. Because, I mean, what you hear in the mainstream LGBTQ media is love is love. You hear that a lot. Love is love. But what is love?
Mm.
Right? What is really love? And I was explaining, we see from Genesis how Eve saw the fruit. And scripture said she saw that it was good to eat. Right? With like any other fruit, she probably would have written the same thing. It was good to eat. But because God said no, your feelings were lying to you. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I gave an example of someone that was sleeping with his cousin, right? And he said, "Meka, I love my cousin."
Mm.
Right? This is love, but I know it's wrong.
Mm.
And a lot of people don't understand that. The same way you feel for your, and this is quite biblical, because the same way you feel for your, and his feelings, the same way you feel for probably your wife, that is a female, I need to add that. The same way you feel for your wife that is a female, it's the same way this person is feeling for the same sex.
100%.
Right? But the difference is, we have a Lord that says no.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's a restriction to love. There's love has boundary. Let me not use boundaries. Love has guardrails.
Yeah, for safety.
Yes. So what do you have to say about love is love?
Love is not love. Number one, because you're not God. You don't get to decide something as fundamental as love. You don't get to decide what the definition is. Oh my days. I wish I could scream this into everyone's ears, because I mean I've gone through that whole deception of thinking that your feelings decide what truth is. But trust me, if our world was, and unfortunately it's getting to that point, but if our world was designed based on our feelings, then I'm guessing a lot of us would be dead, because what's the person that you just vexed says, "I feel like killing you," and then they just carry a knife and they stab you. And you're like, no, they felt that way. So, they can do it. Like, it's silly. It makes no logical sense. And, you know, in the same way, your feelings don't decide what love is. God has an objective definition. And love is righteous. Love is holy. Love is not, it's not sinful. Do you get? Yes, I think that's what I would say to that.
I see. They might be an American or, let me use this word, left ideological, like American or Western, like listening to us.
Yeah.
And they probably don't understand, or he or she does not understand, that the devil has somehow lied to a generation.
Big time.
Right?
Big time.
The fact where we say, oh, do what you feel.
Mm.
Right? Listen to your heart.
Do you.
Do you. That's been the biggest lie. Because from do you, you can also go further and say, how do you feel like today? And the person tells you, I feel like a lion.
It's okay? Already happening.
It's happening, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you see on TikTok, I think TikTok is a demonic place. I'm so sorry, guys. I don't know if you ever see us on TikTok, but I don't know. I joined TikTok and I was always seeing juju people, witchcraft people saying they want to see my future.
Burning sages, doing like these crystals. Yeah, yeah.
So demonic. And oh my God, I don't know how to explain or how to drive home how demonic these ideologies are,
mm-hmm.
or how spirits have backed up these ideologies so much that we don't even understand how it is,
mm-hmm.
right? I was talking to... See, I also want to say something. I know that not everyone that has same-sex desires are controlled by demons.
Yeah.
But because they are not possessed by demons does not mean that the ideology is not a demonic one.
It's, yeah, I agree right? with that. Yeah.
And most of the time, because of ministry, I believe it becomes demonic along the way, right? Because I don't think a normal human being stands up and decides to be a squirrel. Have you seen that before?
I haven't.
You haven't? I saw a joke about a man saying, today he's black, but he says he identifies as
transracial. Have you?
Yes, yeah. He identifies as a 41-year-old white American.
I've seen one that is a 7-year-old girl. Like a big, big boy, big man.
I think if they're in Africa, they'll be flogged.
Big time.
So, I mean, what is your idea when it comes to sexuality and gender? What do you think about it?
I'm thinking of how to address it, answer it. So I would give two perspectives based on where I'm coming from,
okay.
and where I am now in Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. So obviously I grew up always believing that God defines sexuality and he defines gender. Like I said, I come from a strong Christian background.
Yeah.
But then there was a point in my life where I just said, you know what, God, peace out. I'm going to be rebellious. I will lie. And I remember at that point in time,
I just want to say, you don't look like someone that can be rebellious. When I heard you first time, I was like,
Yeah, and people don't look it too. That's the thing. Like,
yeah.
I think just to quickly just sidetrack, just remind me where I stopped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But just quickly sidetrack, many people think that, gay men are effeminate.
They behave like, oh my God, touch my hands.
Yeah. And then they believe... Well,
that is really way I don't know. That is the way I think about it. Sorry.
See, trust me, there are, you'll find some macho men, like macho men that are gay. And then some people think that gay women are like tomboy, and then they like going to gym. Yeah. They have like 20 packs and they're like big muscles. But then many of them are normal. Like, they are very normal.
True.
You would have never guessed. I kid you not, at the time I was struggling. No one knew. The time people found out was when I released the podcast.
Yeah.
No one knew, which was this year. Yes, I look absolutely normal. Right, but can you just remind me where I think I was talking about something.
Yeah, you were talking about, you had told Jesus to peace out, even though he's a peace of the world.
Perspectives on like sexuality and gender.
Yes.
Yes, amazing. So yes, at the time of my rebellion, right, I remember I told God, like, I know what your word says, but I don't think it's true. Like, I remember feeling so torn in my heart. And one thing I did a lot then was I journaled, because I knew that, I like it or not, like, I'm saved. Holy Spirit is coming for me. So it's only a matter of time. So I journaled a lot about my experiences, because I knew that God would have me speak about it eventually at some point. And
Christocentric people, I have a problem with everybody that is a Christocentric. I'm Christocentric, by the way. God, continue. I have a problem.
Okay. But yes, so I wrote a lot. Like, I journaled a lot at that point in time. And one of the things that I wrote was how there was a very popular gay person, a gay activist, Nigerian man. And I was like...
Is it Bob?
Not Bob. I don't want to name drop the person.
Princess?
No, not Princess. Okay, this one is actually... Like, he's not a cross-dresser.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he's gay and I think he's married. But yeah. I remember that day in my journal, I said, I'm so happy that someone like this is fighting for how I feel. I know that I shouldn't be happy, but I'm happy because the word of God says this, but clearly there's another set of people that feel this just as strongly. So how can God tell me it's wrong? Like, how? It doesn't make sense. Because before the time I fell, I had dated guys in the past. And I kid you not, I had been in relationships that spanned into years. What I felt for the person that I backslid with was way stronger than what I felt for the men I had dated in the past. So how can the word of God then tell me that what I feel is wrong?
Yeah.
Do you get? So that was what I was struggling with. But I also thank God again for the word of God, because I just kept reminding myself, it's going to take faith to believe what God says. It might not make sense to my feelings. It might not make sense to my human mind right now. But then there must be truth in this, because I know that Jesus definitely died. And there is proof for the fact that he resurrected. So if that's, because I'm quite logical. So if that's the case, then he definitely is God. And if he is God, and he said these things in his word, then he probably is saying the truth. I just don't understand it.
True.
So I had to, at some point, make a decision to just say, you know what? I think I'm right, but let me try God. And I just said, you know, let me just believe the design God has. And I kid you not, a while after like a couple of months, I realized that those feelings started subsiding. And then the word of God started making sense to my spirit, man. And instead resonated as true. And now I'm at a point where it's just like, how could I have believed that it makes sense for a girl to love another girl romantically? Like, it literally doesn't make sense in my mind anymore. So when it comes to my
person... Does it mean that you don't have, like, temptations? Huh. When you come?
Okay, how do I answer this? I want to answer it with consideration for people that are listening as well. Now, there are certain people that you might be struggling with something, and then out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit comes and then he just takes those desires and then instantly you're free.
There are people like that, actually.
There are people like that.
I've experienced it. Yes.
But then there are also people that God takes them through a process, right, of like progressive sanctification, where it's like every day you're choosing to die to your flesh. And before you know it, you get to a point where it's like, yeah, you still feel the temptations a bit, but then the willpower to obey God is way stronger and it's manageable. Do you get? So whatever place you are in, just know that God is at work in you. Now, for me, it was progressive, then it was complete. It was like 5% today, 10%, 20% over a couple of months. But the thing is that I wasn't even dwelling on how, on my progress. I just focused on God, actually. So I woke up
a lot of people. A lot of people that before they came to me used to count days.
Yeah, no, I don't do that. I did not. Like, what happened to me was, I said I'm going to obey God. I remember there were a lot of teary nights and crying, because it's like you're stabbing yourself in the chest every day. I won't even lie. But then I said, you know what? I'm just going to focus on God. And a day just came after a long time, I think like 6 months or so. Mind you, I had been struggling prior, but then I was sin conscious. I was focused on sin. I wasn't focused on God. And then I realized all my days, wait, so let me check inside my chest. Am I feeling any like attraction towards this kind of person that would normally feel attraction towards? And there was nothing anymore. So that was when I knew I was 100% clean. Now, do I still face temptations occasionally?
Yeah.
Do you get? Occasionally, it's like when you get a chicken, right, and you kill it, you cut the neck off, and then it still bubbles, like, puts inside hot water.
Normally.
That kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. I have a lot of... I don't know. I think this question will probably be for me, or this conversation will probably be for me, but have you met somebody, or I don't know if I know a lot of, how am I going to put this conversation? A lot of cases when it comes to sexual cases or perversion, like sexual perversion, right, will have to do with meddling with demons, right? Is this something you ever thought of? Is this something you ever, like, what's your take on it? I don't know if I want to have, I think I'm going to have a take on it, but what do you think about it?
Yes,
demons,
I do.
Demons and sex.
No, I actually do believe that oppression happens, right? Even like, when you give the enemy a leeway, he can just jump in and then times 100 on your struggle. Mm-hmm. And then those cases, you do need deliverance. But I personally, that wasn't my case.
Yeah.
Yes, mine wasn't.
Me too. I just want to put it on the record.
Mine wasn't oppression by a demon. And I haven't personally met anyone. Mm-hmm. I think I'm... Okay, so I have suspicions about a particular person, I think. But then I haven't had personal conversations with
the
person.
You should just lay hands. It's called two hands. I have.
Okay. That's what Tell I me asked. About it.
You see, when I was starting out, going into schools and everything, there's something in the school of the spirit. I mean, while following the spirit of God teaches you things, right? So, at first, I used to teach, no, addiction or sexual temptation, it doesn't have to be the demon. It doesn't have to be a demon. And I rightly so, but not 100%. I was not 100% correct, right? So, I began meeting people that were actually being afflicted by demons, right? They were actually demons afflicting them when it comes to their sexual, when it comes to sexual temptations, or, oh, they like so-so-so person and so-so-so person. I even did my previous episode.
Okay.
I think last two, on someone that was actually, that actually had an issue like this.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I met someone that was a, that is a lesbian, of, unfortunately. And I mean, this person came. That was because of the message I had in their school. Shameless plug. I want to go to every university in Nigeria. If you're in a university in Nigeria, invite me. Let me come and save your school in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
So I was in this school and I was teaching. And this this lady walks up to me. Hey, can I speak to you? I think the only mistake I did was saying, oh, let's talk over the phone. Because if we had spoken in person, I think, because I mean, after my meetings, I'm probably very busy and everything. But we spoke over the phone and she says, oh, this is what I'm going through.
Okay.
But the weird thing is, I feel like talking to you, but I'm not struggling. You don't understand? She doesn't feel remorse.
Okay.
She has never felt remorse
about her lifestyle.
About her lifestyle. To her, it has been a normal thing. To her, Nigerians are archaic and she's in the future. Right?
Okay.
So, I'd never seen someone like this before in my life. Because it didn't even make, it didn't make psychological sense. It didn't make logical sense that you're in a place like Nigeria, in a third world country, and you don't feel any way. Right? It's just probably, if maybe your father has money and he has shielded you from a lot, even your television, right? Or you somehow magically are cold-hearted. Somehow. Or the third one, it's a demon. And it was the green light, the demon. It was a demonic attack.
Okay.
Long story short, it was a demonic attack. Unfortunately, still, I probably could not still meet her. So, I mean, I know when it comes to a lot of these things, by virtue of... how am I going to explain it? By virtue of just spiritual knowledge, I know that it's a lot of it is demonic. It's like, I was explaining to my friend yesterday today, and I told you to get that. You see, when it comes to spirits,
a spirit,
we are talking about culture. And I was saying, oh, a lot of cultures, in fact, cultures are backed by spirits.
Big time.
Yes, cultures are backed by spirits, even the good ones backed by the Holy Spirit. What happens is that spirits don't possess someone just for the person's life. If a spirit possesses someone, he wants to possess the person. He wants to influence the family,
influence
the community at large, and the world at large.
He starts a movement.
So it's never, oh, you people should leave me. I'm not after you people, right? The way gay people claim that, oh, it's just my love, right? I'm not hurting anyone.
I'm not hurting anyone.
But that's not true. a spirit does not have to possess you. A spirit just has to take an idea into your head, right? So you don't, if you are a insane person, you don't want to be the only insane person. Even if you're a brilliant person, you don't want to be the only brilliant person. It's draining.
Yeah.
A spirit wants a conducive environment. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always wants a conducive environment, right? Mm. The Holy Spirit wants your family. He wants your immediate community. He wants your nation. He wants the world, right? He wants everyone in the world to be in him, right? As he is in them. So that when I see, I lost the point? But when I see the LGBTQ community say love is love and just leave us with our love, we're not hurting anybody, it's not true. Culture does not stay. Culture,
it's just stagnant, yeah.
Right. I think if Nigerians don't, if believers don't stand up, right, to educate, and I'm not saying stand up violently, if you don't stand up in love to say, hey, guys.
And counter that influence.
And counter the influence directly to say, hey, this is not what it is. This is actually what it is. You will suffer. You'll be in a place where you can't pray. You'll be in a place where you can't even love a lady loudly. It can happen. It can happen.
You're scared of losing your job.
It happened. You're scared of losing your job because you're not allowed to say something. I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah is a perfect example of it is not just my love. We're not hurting anybody.
Yeah.
I'm so sure when Lot entered Sodom and Gomorrah, it was a thriving Ford community.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
But we can see how I'm so sure. On that thing, I think this is a personal belief. I think Lot's daughters had already had sex with the guys in the city. I don't know. It's a personal belief because
I actually hear that. I hear that.
They did not want to even rape the daughters.
True.
You don't get. They wanted the angels, even though I know that angels probably would have looked more better
like or
more
glorious and stuff.
Yeah. They must have looked beautiful.
Mm.
But they were men. They were freaking men. They were men. And they didn't want to sleep with the daughters. I think they had slept with them. So I'm just saying that it does not end with just one guy saying, I want to love the other person. You know, I know before now, you said you had questions for me.
Yes, I do. And I think first one, I want to kind of just, I want to ask a question based on what you said about demons.
Mm.
Do you think that, because one thing obviously is that Satan doesn't just appear out of nowhere. He builds over a long time, over decades, centuries. And then when he after he, you know, checks, okay, my pilot was successful, let's scale it. And that's what's happening with LGBTQ now. And one thing that I've always thought about is how science, academia is a very big tool that the enemy uses. So do you think when it comes to like this demonic influence and whatnot, do you think that he's used academia to spread these ideas?
Yes, I believe so. I believe on that lie that looks like a truth is follow the science.
Yes.
So if it's not scientifically true, it's wrong.
Mm.
So I think that was, see, lies a lie does not have to be blatant for it to be a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is something spiritual, discerning spiritually will teach you. A lie does not have to.
It's gonna look good.
It just has to be. It's not the same position.
Mm.
Right? It's not the same position. It just has to be shifted a little. If we say follow the science, if it is not science, it's not true. If the devil was able to say, science is truth. If it's not science, follow the truth. Who are the ones in which we have left science for?
Mm.
They are the scientists, the doctors, the biologists.
Yeah.
Which can be bought with money. We have seen papers, scientific papers, that we know were politically engineered, motivated. Yeah. Right? We have seen it over and over again. And see, because, I mean, we are looking now, we are seeing new studies. We are seeing new studies like professor in gender.
Sexology.
Weird. Gender. What rubbish.
Sex and gender.
Yeah, sex stuff. And gender some spectrum. And the person is talking to you. The person is talking to you. The person is saying, I'm a professor in the gender spectrum.
Let's even and talk you're like, about that.
What you went to school to study male and female, or you went to school to study what? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, I hear that. Like, even just study about that. So the reason I asked that question is I feel like I'm happy that the church is waking up now, but we are playing catch up. Do you know?
Yeah.
If you go as far back to like 1958 and early 60s, this flag has, they've been flying it.
Yeah.
We didn't protest. The flag, the LGBTQ flag, was designed by the first American gay politician.
Yeah.
So it has been politically motivated since the get-go.
And it's
right?
Now we want to fight for the rainbow back. After they've poured in billions.
Do you get? And even put that aside, right? Let's talk about follow the science and stuff. There are two names that need to ring in people's minds whenever they hear of homosexuality and transgenderism. Number one is Kinsey, Alfred Kinsey, and number two is John Money. Mm. You know, this spectrum thing that we're talking about now, someone actually created it. This Kinsey guy, he studied pedophiles, obviously child sexual offenders.
Oh my God, now, you know, now they are doing as if they want to legalize.
They are going to, that's just the honest truth. If we don't stand up and if we don't find our ways into policy as Christians, they are going to, like, just, it's Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. That's just the honest truth, right? Sodom and
but the difference is, we go exit.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like, we're just
go
waiting.
Exit.
Yeah. So this Kinsey guy, he wrote...
We'll be born with fire. We'll exit.
Yeah. He went on some, like, research, and the research was so voluminous, he turned them into books. One on the male sexual behavior, and that one on female sexual behavior. And one of the key things that he developed was... the gender and was the sexuality spectrum. This guy said nobody is actually fully heterosexual. Everybody has homosexual tendencies. That our truest selves, that we are actually homosexuals.
And on what ground? Do you understand?
Yeah. And do you know the plot twist? The guy, this is why we need to realize how big of a spiritual attack is. This guy, number one, he's also homosexual, also a child sexual.
You see
offender.
What I'm saying?
And he grew up in a devout Christian home, but he never could grasp Christianity. And he grew up to hate it because he was struggling with these internal contradictions and his parents stifled it.
Yeah.
I mean, for his good, right? And then when he grew up, when he went to university, he said he was going to just go rogue.
Explore.
So I literally read excerpts of his book. Like, I was so angry. There were so many, like, he called us. He said it is foolishness to be sheep, that it's better to be goats. Like, he literally took sheep and go. And if you guys know the relevance of that in the Bible, you realize how demonic it is.
Yo.
And then you go to John Money. John Money came up with a hypothesis that you can raise a boy as a girl from a young age and they'll grow up to believe that they are girls. That's why now, obviously, the LGBTQ community is attacking kids with gender-affirming care, right, and whatnot.
That's the most demonic thing I've ever seen in my life.
Big time.
Demonic thing I've ever seen in my life.
Do you know what this guy did? So there was a couple that had twin boys and they took the kids to be circumcised. Unfortunately, one of them, the circumcision did not go well. And so John Money found this family and convinced the parents that the one who was to castrate that child, that the circumcision did not go well, and that they should raise the child, that boy, as a girl. So up to his teenage years, this boy was raised as a girl. They gave him puberty blockers, hormones, he grew breasts and whatnot. Let's just, long story short, that these boys, two of them actually died. The one that was castrated actually committed suicide. And I kid you not, it is these two men's research and a couple others that they are using to frame policies today in California and other states across America. And this Kinsey guy, he's so celebrated to the point where there's a whole institute in a university in America named after him. Like, this is what we are dealing with. And these guys did this research since like the 60s, 70s. And it's only just now that their research
that is light on it.
Frame the world.
Yes.
It's so frustrating.
The devil, that's what I'm saying. Like, the devil is so good. He does not play his cards at the same time.
At all.
He never plays his card at the same time. If you are not, if you say, oh, because we are believers, oh, we should not be in education. Because we are believers, we should not be in media,
in
whatever.
Politics is dirty.
The devil is there and he's already playing the game, you know. You know, I was talking to somebody because I had watched this former singer in the 90s and Elvis Presley, all of them.
Okay.
There was this move of God. I know there was this dispensation they were in.
Mm.
There was a move of God in that era, at the 10th revivals or something. And these people found their roots somehow in God, in the sense that they felt like the energy they had, they received it from church, like the impartations, the Pentecostalism in some kind of way, and like the Holy Spirit move, the move of the Holy Spirit there and then. I believe because they were not taught properly. And this is...
Yeah.
This is something with the church, which I'm a part of.
And me
I'm
too.
A minister. We are part... We sometimes we are not... We do not look at other areas. In the sense that, we might be saying, we are healing the sick, we are raising the dead.
We're not creating culture.
We are not affecting culture. We are not creating culture. And the thing with it is that when power is not directed, it is always abused. You will create monsters. Because with power can create great people.
Mm.
Right? But if these people are not discipled, what you create are people going into the music industry that we are honed in church, but they cannot say no to money.
Talent is redirected.
You see, I was watching a movie, the high school, they wanted to do like a play, and they called the LGBT community for funding, and the requirement was that the lead actors must be gay, and it happened. See
with
how
money comes see, authority.
The money even went to high schools. If you called a Christian billionaire to say, in our secondary school we want to do a play, and the play we need costumes, we need to do well. You know?
Will sweat before you get that money.
Sweat. You're not getting it. You're not even getting it. Do you understand? You're not getting the money. We need to wake up.
Yeah. And I think we need to be more vision-oriented,
mm-hmm.
as well. And think long-term. Long-term not even being decades, but long-term being generations. Because look at Disney now. I was watching a video. I don't know if you heard about it. One of the directors at Disney basically said that they're going to invest in gender-affirming care for kids. And any child that comes in just to get counseling will get 6 months access into Disney World.
You don't understand.
I don't know if you watch Nickelodeon.
I mean, I'm a cartoon guy. Do you watch?
No, I don't watch cartoons.
I think I'm the only person now. my listeners watch cartoon. I'm so sure. You push. You just type it in the comments. You watch cartoon. So I watch cartoons a lot. And there is this show, Harry Danger, but there is a sequel to Harry Danger, Danger Force or something.
And they're gay characters.
There's a transgender character. I didn't understand.
Sorry, is he a boy to a girl?
Yeah, a boy to a girl or something. A boy to a girl. I don't know why they're doing that. So, like, my brother, it was my junior brother. My junior brother is 14.
Mm.
At that time, he was like 12, 13. He was in that pointed it out to me. He said, Emeka, there's something wrong with this boy. And I looked at it. I was the substitute, it came to me, but I was like,
can they really do that?
They can't. That's what I was thinking. That's what I did. I went online.
Yeah.
And I found that.
Of a truth.
Of a truth. The boy
is a girl.
It's a boy. And he's a girl.
Yeah.
And I was stunned. And all I could say was, whenever you see something, change it. Whenever, this is how we're going to end this. I want to know how you broke free. Like, how did you burn your bridges?
The gospel. I remember when I realized, oh my days, I feel nothing. The first thing that came to my mind was, why didn't anyone tell me earlier that the gospel that saves is the same gospel that sanctifies?
Yeah.
Do you get?
Yes.
Many people, and even before I go there, let me just so that you guys would know the extent of battle I fought. I was telling someone, I think on Sunday, how that when I was struggling, when I was like 12, 13, 14, I would pray so much. In fact, I drank anointing oil. I had a handkerchief that...
Mantle.
From Shiloh, yes.
Aye.
From Bishop.
Fire.
No work.
Abego.
At the time, and I'll tell you why, right? And I remember I used to get so scared sleeping because it's one thing to fight when you're awake, but then when you're asleep, it's another fight again.
Yeah, the dreams.
And so, like, I would not want to sleep. I would just keep reading my Bible. And then one time, I used to have a particular repetitive dream. I slept, and that same dream came. And I think I also charged up with the word that I said the word. In that dream, I woke up, I was like, oh wow, victory. But then the next day, the struggle continued, and it continued for years. And in hindsight, I realized that it's because I was so sin conscious. And the thing is, when you're sin conscious, fear grows,
mm-hmm.
and you realize that you end up in this cycle. But what you need to do is shift your mind from focusing on your struggles to focusing on God. Philippians 2 tells us about how God is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So just trust that the Holy Spirit is working in you. If he said he died for you, then he died for you. If
Glory
he said that
God.
He was raised from the dead and you are seated with him in heavenly places, then truly you were raised as well and you are seated with him far above principalities and powers. Like, it needs to first become a mindset. You need to first realize, wait, this is who I am. And I said something to myself when I was struggling. I said, deception is only deception because it appears true. Mm. It's only someone that has come out of deception that would realize that they were being deceived.
Yes, yes.
So take a leap of faith and just believe what the word of God says. Yes, you are facing these contradictions, but it's not who you are in Christ Jesus. Choose to believe in who Jesus says you are. Choose to believe in the gospel. Declare to yourself every day and take actions that are consistent with that. And that thing as well is surround yourself with a community.
Yo, so important.
Ah, my goodness. See, report yourself to your pastor.
Yeah.
Like,
difficult thing to do.
Yes. But as long as you know that your pastor is someone that...
And your pastor has sense, please.
Yes. As long as your pastor is someone that loves the Lord, that wants the best for you and is ready to walk with you to your freedom and whatnot, then please just carry yourself. Say, please, I'm sorry. Like, I did this. I don't want to do this, but then I did it. Please help me. And they will point you to scriptures, meditate on the word of God. But the time that, and you might need to be radical sometimes. Like, I cut off certain songs. Like, the moment I hear something, I cut it off. And that thing really built a mindset in me now to the point where I don't even watch movies like that again.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
get? Because you need to guard your eyes, you need to guard your ears, guard your mouth, like, and take God seriously. Fall in love with God. Just worship him wholeheartedly. I think I was telling someone that was struggling this, like, yes, God is going to sort out your sin, but don't just come to him because you want him to sort out your sin. Like, mm-hmm. come to him because you love him. It's that love. The more you...
That changes you.
Like, is that love?
He's not, yeah.
Yes, I'm so sorry. That it's so potent because here is what's going to happen. The struggle might not disappear instantly, but the more you yield yourself to God, the more God's love grows in you. And it's that love that will strengthen you to say, you know what? I love God so much. I'd rather break my own heart than break God's heart. that's what will happen. Like, there'll be a change in priority. And the more you obey God, the more you're actually strengthening, I call it spiritual muscles. You're strengthening your spiritual muscles to keep saying no to sin and yes to God. No, yes, no, yes. And before you know it, it's like, it's not even ringing your mind again that you need to say no, because automatically you just say no. So it's a muscle that you can train. Yeah. Obedience is a muscle, and it starts with a decision to believe what the word of God says about you.
Love it. God is not calling us to... He's not calling us and saying, come to me and I shall make you straight.
Yes, right? Exactly.
He's saying, I've died for you. I want to have a relationship with you. Come and know me. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And as we know God, we understand that he is Lord.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And because he's Lord, we obey him. And we obey him out of delight and love, not out of compulsion. We love you, Lord, and we obey you.
Yeah.
That is how it is. He's not calling you, hey, Tommy, come and be straight. No. He's calling you, come and know me. This is eternal life. This access to me. Come and know me. And as you know God, you know yourself. Oh, this is actually who I truly am.
Mm-hmm.
I've been living a lie, right? I've been living a lie. This is
shock
the truth.
You.
You're like, oh my God, I thought this was true, but this is not true. That's how it is. I just want to thank you guys for listening all through this session.
Yeah.
This is The Redeemed with Emeka. And
this is SWTT, Sit with the Truth with Abiola.
SWTT. I can't say that. Have a lovely day, guys.
Yeah.
And stay safe. God bless you.
Peace out.